This is Akashvani on the occasion of World Health Day. Now we bring you an exclusive interview with Anupriya Patel, Minister of State for Health and Family Welfare. The interviewer is Tina Jha, journalist.
Health impacts every aspect of our lives, from longevity to the quality of our happiness. And that's why it's extremely important for us to prioritize our health and well-being. Especially in the post-pandemic era, health has become a top priority globally. Drawing attention to a specific health topic of concern to people all over the world, the World Health Day is observed on the 7th of April every year. By emphasizing on a particular theme every year, World Health Day encourages governments, healthcare organizations, and individuals to work collectively towards improving health standards and also access to healthcare. The theme of World Health Day 2025 is Healthy Beginnings, Hopeful Futures, focusing on improving maternal and newborn health and survival. This year-long campaign urges governments and the health community to ramp up efforts to end preventable maternal and newborn deaths and also to prioritize women's longer-term health and well-being. To talk about how India has significantly reduced maternal mortality, strengthened healthcare systems, enabled access to maternal health services, and is moving closer to achieving global health goals, I'm joined by an eminent guest, Ms. Anupriya Patel, Minister of State for Health and Family Welfare of India. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us on the program. Welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you for having me. And to begin with, I would like to convey my greetings to all the listeners of this special show today.
So World Health Day 2025 puts the spotlight on maternal and newborn health. Let's begin by talking about the progress India has made towards saving new mothers and babies. Talk to us about the efforts that have helped us make gains in this sector in recent years.
This year's World Health Day theme, I really appreciate. It's about ending the preventable maternal and newborn deaths. And it really reminds us that the entire healthcare fraternity, along with the government, needs to gear up, identify what are the gaps remaining, and increase our investments. Because overall, our health systems must evolve so that we are able to address the challenges that still exist in protecting our mothers and children. I take great pride in talking about India's achievement, particularly when it comes to containing maternal and neonatal deaths. Because we are doing better vis-a-vis the rest of the world when it comes to protecting our mothers and saving our children. If we talk about maternal mortality rate in India, today the rate of decline is 83% vis-a-vis the global rate of decline, which is 42%. IMR, India's rate of decline is 69%. Global rate of decline is 55%. And under 5 mortality, India's rate of decline is 75% and global rate of decline is around 58%. So you can see how well India has performed. And that really goes to show the commitment government of India, along with the state governments and also the entire health fraternity, has towards reducing the morbidity and mortality of women and the newborns. And we have adopted RMNCHA strategy, which is Reproductive, Maternal, Neonatal, Child and Adolescent Health, under which there are several schemes that have been rolled out for long, whether it is Janani Suraksha Yojana to promote institutional deliveries, or it is Janani Shishu Suraksha Karyakram, which assures a free of cost, absolutely no expense delivery to our mothers in the public health facilities. Pradhan Mantri Surakshit Matritva Abhiyan, which gives an opportunity for an ANC by the specialist doctors for pregnant women. Extended PMSMA, which allows us to track the high-risk pregnancies until a safe delivery is achieved. Also, Laksh, which is an initiative to bring about quality care in the labor rooms and maternity operation theatres. Postnatal care that we provide to our mothers, and also now comprehensive abortion care, which we are giving so that women have access to safe, legal, affordable, accessible abortions for different reasons, whether it is a therapeutic reason or a eugenic reason, humanitarian or a social reason. If a woman needs medical termination of pregnancy, we take care of it. So these are initiatives which have gone a long way in protecting mothers. And insofar as our newborns are concerned, our young children are concerned, we started with Mission Indradhanush. That is an initiative under which we are ensuring that our children fully immunized, because it used to be the situation in this country that a lot of babies would be partially immunized or they would not be immunized at all. Mission Indradhanush is a special drive to achieve 100% immunization of our children, and we have been able to go as far as achieving 97% today in India. We have facility-based newborn care. We have a kangaroo mother care initiative. We also have community-based care and home-based care for newborn care. So these interventions by Government of India have really gone a long way in making sure that we are able to reduce maternal and newborn deaths to a great extent.
That's right. In recent years, you know, the numbers are itself speaking about the kind of interventions the government is making at various levels, and that's where we have made gains, especially when it comes to reducing the maternal mortality rate, the infant mortality rate, under 5 mortality rate, something that you pointed out. But there are several challenges that continue to persist in terms of wasting, overweight children, also anemia. How are we addressing some of these significant challenges?
Well, thank you for raising this very, very important issue. You know, when we talk about the nutrition aspect, that a spectrum has two ends. On one end, we have malnutrition. On the other hand, we have obesity. And we also have anemia. Government of India has undertaken measures to address each one of these. So let me first talk about malnutrition. That is something which the Ministry of Women and Child Development takes care of. We started National Nutrition Mission. Today we have Sakshan Anganwadi and Poshan 2.0. What are we doing under it? First of all, under Saksham Anganwadi, we are building up the Anganwadi infrastructure. Wherever there are no Anganwadi buildings, we're constructing that. And wherever the old structures are existing, we are modernizing and upgrading them. And Poshan 2.0 focuses on maternal nutrition. It focuses on infant and young child feeding norms. Also the treatment protocols for severe acute malnutrition and moderate acute malnutrition. So what we do is we go to the Anganwadi centers, and children in the age group of 0 to 6 years, they are screened. If they are SAM or MAM, we take them to the nutrition rehabilitation centers, the NRCs, which are established within the district hospitals. So these are initiatives that are being taken to ensure that our children are not malnourished. We've also introduced ICT platform, which is called Poshan Tracker, and that is converged with the RCH portal of the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. And we're doing real-time monitoring of not just our Anganwadi centers, but also the Anganwadi workers. What is the service delivery? What is the status of each beneficiary child? All that we are tracking now. So we are well informed how far the efforts are going on the ground. And I would also like to talk about a very important campaign which is starting on the 8th of April, and it will continue till the 22nd of April. It is the Poshan Pakhwada, which is called Swasth Ma Suposhit Bacche Samrit Bharat Ki Neev. Why have we undertaken this campaign? Because we want to bring about a behavior change, and we want to make this a people's movement, because malnutrition requires the engagement of the community. So under this 15-day special drive, we will try to make that shift in people's approach, because it is not just the government machinery, it is not just the state administration which can achieve these objectives. If we want our children to be free of malnutrition, if we want our children to be healthy, then everybody has to come together. And especially in this government led by Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, we believe in making everything a people's movement, because it helps us to, you know, achieve our objectives with greater efficiency. Now, this was malnutrition was one end of the nutrition spectrum that I was talking about. The other spectrum that is becoming a cause of concern for us today is increasing obesity in children. For that also, we're doing a lot of efforts. We have the FSSAI, the Food Safety Standards Authority of India. So they have specially started this Eat Right India campaign, which means less of salt, less of sugar, less of fat. That is how you have to modify your diet. And the sports ministry is also promoting the Fit India campaign. So people need to make those lifestyle changes and do some physical activity, yoga, sports, anything. But we have to be fit. And especially we have the school health program under which we are trying to promote the school authorities to provide nutrition education to children, to do obesity screening within the school premises, and also do some lifestyle counseling for children, and also keep the school canteens free of food which is high in sugar, high in fat, high in salt, so that our children eat healthy and they are not obese. So these are things that we are trying to do so that we have healthier younger generation. Another important challenge that you spoke about is anemia. Efforts are going on for a long time. So iron folic acid has got a big role to play, and we have been administering them to women, whether pregnant women or lactating mothers or children. So IFA syrup is being given to younger children, babies. Women in the reproductive age group get the IFA red tablets. Also, women who are pregnant, they get it for 180 days. And constantly, we monitor what are the hemoglobin levels of children and women. And these efforts are bearing fruits. And I think we will be able to make this Anemia Mukt Bharat a reality very soon.
Certainly. Thank you for taking us through, you know, how India is addressing various challenges of wasting, overweight children, anemia. And you spoke about multiple government initiatives that are taking place at various levels. But at the same time, how are we ensuring equitable access, quality access of healthcare in the first place? And especially if I ask you in context of the rural areas, in context of the underserved areas across the country, because these two aspects are very, very critical to public healthcare, mortality, reducing infant mortality and reducing maternal mortality.
Well, thank you. That's a very important question. Let me just begin by talking about the rollout of the National Health Policy in the year 2017 under the leadership of Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji. The last policy that we have that was around 20 years old, somewhere in the 98, 99 it came, and it was never revised. That earlier health policy which we had, it spoke only about the curative aspect of healthcare. But when we came up with the new National Health Policy, we made a paradigm shift. Now, healthcare, we are guided by the philosophy of universal health coverage, and there has to be entire continuum of care, which means preventive health, promotive health, curative health, rehabilitative health, and palliative health. All these aspects of health needs to be taken care of to promote overall well-being. And if you look at the structure of the healthcare services, it's like a pyramid. So you have primary healthcare, you have secondary healthcare, you have tertiary healthcare. Government of India today is taking care of all these three levels. So when I say primary healthcare, we have the flagship initiative of Ayushman Bharat, under which we have established there are more than 1,75,000 Ayushman Aarogya Mandir. At these arms, we are now providing a package of 12 different services. So that means the community closer to their homes, within their villages, within the settings that they live in, they will have a comprehensive package of 12 services, which means oral care also, mental health care also, ENT care also, everything. It's a complete package which is being given to people. And all these Ayushman Aarogya Mandir, now they are being NQAS certified. So National Quality Assurance Standard certification is being done so that minimum benchmarks of quality healthcare are met at the primary level. Moving on to the upgradation and strengthening of the secondary level facilities. After COVID, we came up with PM Abhim, the health infrastructure mission, and 64,000 crores has been allocated by the government, and that has primarily been targeted to filling up the critical gaps which exist in our secondary or tertiary healthcare infrastructure.
Right.
Third is, of course, tertiary healthcare, where India has done tremendous work. In just this 11 years journey, we have been able to increase the number of medical colleges in the country from, say, before 2014, we had around 380. Today, we have 787. So it's more than 101% increase. We have more MBBS seats, we have more PG seats, and Government of India says we're going to add another 75,000 PG and UG seats in the next 5 years. So more doctors means our doctor-patient ratio is going to improve, and especially the rural and underserved areas, and within those areas also the most vulnerable population, which is of the women and children, is going to benefit largely. Patients will receive timely care, they will receive quality care, they will have access to more specialists, and when there are more specialists, there'll be competition also to have better patient care, to have better health outcomes. Medical tourism will also grow, so it'll have so many benefits. So this was about the primary, secondary, and the tertiary healthcare structure, which we have improved. And one thing more I would like to add, that India is now talking about the integrated medicine system. We had different systems of medicine which existed in India for generations, for centuries. We had the traditional system, we had the modern medicine. And there was never an integration between the different systems that existed. But integrative medicine is the future. And if we want to improve the patient healthcare outcomes, then all the different systems must stop working in silos and they have to come together. So we have started working towards an integrated medicine system also. So that's how we are creating our health ecosystem. We also have PM, the digital health mission. So electronic health records are being maintained. So it's an entire ecosystem which is being created so that every citizen of this country has assured universal health coverage, which certainly includes mother and children.
Right. Your answer leads me to questions on so many different aspects. I'm going to start with universal health coverage that you mentioned. The Ministry of Health and Family Welfare has recently signed an MOU with the government of Delhi. Now there's a new government in Delhi. Earlier, of course, the benefits of Ayushman Bharat Yojana were not being extended to the residents of the national capital. They've been included into this landmark mission that India has launched to ensure greater public health. But tell us about how this MOU entails and how beneficial is it going to be for the residents of Delhi?
We've just signed this MOU between Union Government and the Government of NCT of Delhi. So now, when we sign this MOU, there are 6.54 lakh beneficiary families of Delhi who are going to get this assured free of cost treatment worth 10 lakh rupees. In the rest of India, people under PM Jai are getting free treatment for only 5 lakh rupees. But in Delhi, before elections, Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji had promised that since Delhi had missed out for a long period of time because the scheme came in the year 2018, but because the ruling state government did not allow the MOU to be signed, so the scheme could not be implemented. So when the next government is formed, the scheme would be implemented. Today, MOU has been signed. These many families are going to benefit across 27 medical specialities. There are 1,961 health benefit packages that people will be able to make use of. Even the 70-year plus elderly population will be covered under this scheme. So if I say 6.54 lakh beneficiary families, it comes to a little more than 30 lakh people. So within that 30 lakhs, it's around 6 lakh elderly people who are going to benefit. So 5 lakh will be from Government of India, 5 lakh will be additional from the Government of Delhi. So now it's a big day. People will make use of the scheme like the rest of India is making, because 34 states in India are today benefiting from the scheme, and Delhi is going to be the 35th state.
It's absolutely good news for the residents of Delhi because now they will be covered under this health coverage. You also spoke about the National Health Policy 2017 and some of its recommendations. One of the key recommendations was to increase the health expenditure to 2.5% of GDP by 2025. But we are somewhere less than 2% still. So while there is need to increase that budget, does the ministry at any time feel that that is a shortcoming and there is immediate need to extend that budget, considering that India is now the most popular populous country in the world as well.
Well, let me just say that before 2017, when we brought this new health policy, nobody ever spoke of, you know, increasing the health expenditure and taking it to 2.5% of the GDP. It was for the first time that we only brought this idea that we need to do this. It is the need of the hour. And if you look at it, it doesn't happen in one day. It happens gradually. And since the time our government has taken over, the government health expenditure has constantly been increasing. When we took over in the year 2014-15, the budget was around 38,000 crores. You look at the figures now. Just the recent budget for health ministry is 1 lakh crore. So that's an increase. So government of India has been increasing its share. What we also need to understand is that the state governments also need to increase their spending on health sector. We have been constantly communicating with states and we will continue to do so because health is a state subject. Government of India is doing as much as it can, as fast as it can. We also need the cooperation of states. A lot of states are gearing up, but still more needs to be done.
And especially when we have just recently been through a pandemic like the coronavirus, which was very, very unpredictable, but it had devastating impacts. How prepared are we to deal with such pandemics in future, given our demography and also the geography? Because the kind of impact it had on every country, also on us, but the lessons that it taught us in terms of preparing a resilient infrastructure, a resilient ecosystem to deal with such challenges in future.
So I think when we talk about the demography and diversity of India, when COVID hit us all, India's population was actually a concern for the entire global community because they were thinking that India is such a huge country, how will they tackle this pandemic? But we set an example because we were able to vaccinate our entire population. We came up with our own domestically manufactured vaccine and we supplied vaccines to so many different countries, more than 100 countries under the Vaccine Maitri initiative. So now India's demography, all the myths around it, I think they are over. India can handle any emergency. And insofar as any future pandemic or emergency is concerned, we are quite well prepared. I just told you about the primary, secondary and the tertiary level health infrastructure, how we are working on it, integrative medicine system that we have taken care of. Also, the National Institute of Virology. We had just one, that's a world-class research institute which we had in Pune. We are opening 4 more branches. So one is going to come up in Jammu, the other in Dibrugarh, the other in Jabalpur, and one more in Bengaluru. You know that whenever any new virus comes up, any new disease comes up, the first thing is to understand the disease. Only then you can decide about the treatment. So these new institutes that are coming up will be helpful in addressing such challenges. And we have also established a disaster management cell within the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. There are two things that we are paying attention to. There are more than around 98 or so national life support skills centers that have been established in medical colleges. So we are training the doctors and medical practitioners and the other staff how to be prepared for an emergency or a pandemic like this. We are also undertaking the training of hospital administrators, as in how the hospital premises should be prepared. So capacity building of the staff of the entire healthcare fraternity is also being undertaken.
You know, since we are talking about tackling the challenges that persist and strengthening our ecosystem, mental health issues have become critical globally. These are being discussed as more and more cases emerge. How has the ministry seized about the issues of mental health? In fact, raising awareness among people about mental health issues, at the same time, creating an infrastructure about where these issues can be dealt with sensitively.
Mental health for years, I would say, has remained neglected. And there is so much of stigma attached to it that people, even if they are struggling with mental issues, they don't really want to accept their issues and seek medical help. But when our government came, we took the first step of providing a policy support. So we came up with this Mental Health Care Act in 2017, which is all about ensuring these mental health services to the common citizen of India and also protecting the rights of individuals who are dealing with these issues. If you remember, in COVID times, we had had started this helpline, and that was providing specialized counseling services because people in the lockdown, they couldn't move out of the houses, and there was too much talk about mental health issues. So that time, the helpline that was started by NIMHANS, it worked very well. And even today, particularly women in stress, girls in trauma situations, and a lot of other people who are in such situations, they are making use of that helpline. And I would appeal to more and more people, if you have an issue, please don't sit back with it, because today is the time when we really need to talk about mental health, and we need to seek medical help, and it's all available. We have the National Medical Health Program, under which we have the District Mental Health Program. So every district hospital is providing mental health care services, all the 747 districts. And we even have the Tele Mental Health Program today. So we have set up almost 53 telemanas cells within the district hospitals, and on a helpline, people can call, they can seek specialist consultation. More than 19 lakhs callers have been advised and helped on these telemanas cells. And we even have launched this new telemanas app. So there is an app also which people can make use of. So mental health is not something to shy away from. In fact, just the way we take care of our physical health, we must take care of our mental health also. And we must come forward, seek medical help, and stay healthy. That's my appeal to every citizen of this country.
Since we're talking also about the way transformation has happened at various levels because of government interventions, let me also speak about the role of technology, and especially in today's age when AI is being spoken about in every sector. Tell us about what kind of role you see for AI or data analytics in transforming healthcare system, particularly in India.
Technology has a huge role in today's times in transforming the entire healthcare landscape. We have set up 3 centers of excellence in AIIMS Delhi, in PGI Chandigarh, and AIIMS Rishikesh. And they are doing research with institutes of eminence like IIT, like ICMR. We want to not just come up with new technologies, but also incorporate these innovations in our healthcare programs. I would like to give you an example of the National TB Elimination Program. Just few days back, from 7th December till 24th March, we run this special 100 days intensified campaign, wherein we tried to go to every nook and corner of the country and do active screening of the vulnerable population so as to find out the missing TB cases, put them on treatment. Under this 100 days intensified campaign, we made use of new technology. We made use of AI-supported handheld x-rays. Normally, if you have to get an x-ray done, you'll have to go to a diagnostic center or a lab. But now in this campaign, we had these handheld x-rays. So that was the adoption of technology, which really helped us in this campaign. And more than 11 crore people have been screened. We have bigger number of missing cases. We were expecting we have to find out only 2.5 lakh cases, but we were able to find out even more. So that's how technology is changing the landscape. Our centers of excellence are working very well, and we are making sure that more and more programs have the adoption of these innovations. So startups are being promoted, new ideas are coming from the youngsters of this country, and the more we use technology, we will be able to have better outcomes also.
Before we wrap up this conversation, I would urge you to leave out a message for all our listeners on this World Health Day, especially for the women and girls. They need to start taking care of themselves.
I would like to appeal to all the listeners that our health is our real wealth. And health is not just our physical health. It is our mental and emotional health as well. So everybody, it is our prime responsibility to understand that my health is my responsibility. That should be the mantra of life. Take care of your physical health. Eat what is local, what is seasonal, what is fresh. Eat less processed food. Adopt a healthy lifestyle. Drink lots of water. Exercise, physical activity is very important. Indulge into meditation, yoga, whatever you like. Engage in hobbies and just be healthy. It is very important, especially girls and women. They tend to be neglecting their health all the time because they will always prioritize somebody else's health, some other member in the family, before their own health. While it's important to take care of the family, it's also important that women and girls take care of their own health. Lastly, health is the real wealth. So let's take care of it. My health, my responsibility.
All right. So with that, very, very very important message. We'll wind up the conversation. Thank you for this quite an enlightening conversation on various aspects of health, the challenges that persist, but at the same time, how India is geared up to tackle all of these challenges one by one. And thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much. Jai Hind.
You were listening to an exclusive interview with Anupriya Patel, Minister of State for Health and Family Welfare, on the occasion of World Health Day. The interviewer was Tina Jha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.